Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight as well. What a blessing. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Mark, chapter 6. Mark and chapter 6. So we continue with our study on the teachings of Christ. We're preaching and teaching on the very messages, the very truths that Jesus himself presented. And we find ourselves now in the third year of his public ministry. And the third year is the year of opposition, because he has to ramp up the training of the apostles because he knew that he would be leaving. They would have to be prepared for his departure. And, of course, the old devil is trying to keep that from happening. And so there's a lot of opposition, and they're already setting out to try to take his life prematurely. And so there's a whole lot going on in this third year of his public ministry. Last week we looked at that he sent his disciples out door to door and by twos. And it's important that we understand that he was establishing that for the New Testament church and for this entire New Testament church age. And so the witness and going to people and letting them know about the Messiah. And so that was last week, and now the next in chronological order here is found in Mark chapter 6 and verse 14 down to verse 29. So if you'll stand with me, we'll read this, the Word of God, together. And King Herod heard of him, for his name was spread abroad. And he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mightily works do show forth themselves in him. Others said that it is Elias, and others said it is a prophet, or as one of the prophets. But when Herod heard thereof, he said, "It is John, whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead." For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John, and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, "It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife." Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him, and would have killed him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. And when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, high captains, and chief estates of Galilee. And when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, "Ask of me whatsoever you wilt, and I will give it thee." And he sware unto her, "Whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it thee, unto the half of my kingdom." And she went forth and said unto her mother, "What shall I ask?" And she said, "The head of John the Baptist." And she came in straightway with haste and unto the king and asked, saying, Will thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist?" And the king was exceeding sorry, yet for his oath's sake, and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought, and he went and beheaded him in prison and brought his head in a charger and gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you tonight, Lord, what a blessing it's already been just being able to be back in the house of the Lord. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for the music and the support and encouragement of each and every one that's here tonight. I pray, God, now that you would just help us each and every one to open up our hearts and our minds to receive that which you have for us through the preaching and the teaching of thy word. We ask your anointing and your power upon it once again. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. So, moving on in this final year of his public ministry before he would go to the cross, the name of Jesus was spreading very fast. And that's exactly what he had planned on. He not only sent the 12 apostles out two by two, but he sent the disciples. It was something they started telling and teaching one another. If you believe in Jesus Christ, we need to go tell people. And they were going out all over telling people about Jesus, the Messiah. So his name was being spread. And as it was being spread, the Bible brings us to this passage of scripture where King Herod heard of it. Now it's gotten into government. And as King Herod heard of this, because of what he had done to John the Baptist, no doubt he was very convicted over what had taken place. And he kept trying to, no doubt, try to block it out, forget that it ever happened. And then this message came, a message that he had heard from John. And he believes it's John, resurrected from the grave, and continuing to spread the message. Wow. I love this because in this account, the scriptures reveal what happened to John the Baptist. It gives us detail of what happened to John the Baptist. Now, we might know that John was imprisoned and beheaded, but outside of this passage of scripture, this is what God revealed to us. We wouldn't know the reasons and all the things behind it. And I think it's going to be a blessing to you. It was to me as we study it and we learn of this. Verse 14 and 15, again, we find here the talk of Jerusalem and Judea and all abroad. Who is this man called Jesus? I'll tell you, that question is still being asked around the world today. And we need to present Jesus so that people can ask, who are you talking about? Yeah, we are to continue to do that. Much had taken place the first 2 years. It began with John preparing the way for Christ, the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And they kind of intermingled in the very beginning when John was still doing what he was called to do in preaching Christ and being the forerunner. And Jesus was coming on the scene. They would interact. And John would actually point people to him. Let people know, he must increase, I must decrease. So even John understood what would have to take place at the end of his ministry for the beginning of Christ's. John chapter 1, it gives us a little more insight into that. Look there with me, John chapter 1. And verse 15 down to verse 27, we'll read several scriptures here. I want you to see this. John chapter 1, verse 15. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Herod would have heard all this. And of his fullness have all we received in grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then, art thou Elias? As some would later on think he would have been, Jesus would have been. Art thou Elias? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us, what sayest thou of thyself? And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? And John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latcheth I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. And the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now that's good, because John had been preaching that. John had been preparing the way for the coming of Christ. Now everyone wanted to know who Jesus was. Can I tell you, many thought they knew, and they didn't. The truth of it is, there's many that think that they know who Jesus is, but they don't. They think him to be a good man. They think him to be one of the prophets. But they don't give him the position that he deserves and that he has, and that is the position of deity. Not divinity, but deity, meaning that he is God. Yeah. So that's what's taking place. This is going on. They were hearing more about Jesus Christ. His name was being spread about because of all the things that happened in the first 2 years of the ministry of what had taken place with Christ. And then we find it here. Herod hears of this. It had been some time. Shows us the conviction never left him. I believe that he was at the verge of getting saved right before he had to have John beheaded. We'll get into that in just a minute. But others said this is Elias, and others said that it is a prophet or one of the prophets. And then we find, it said, but when Herod heard thereof, he said, it is John, whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead. Yeah. It's Herod's conviction of what he had done to John that helps us to know of God's control of all things. Because he didn't have to have him beheaded. He had the opportunity to set him free. But he didn't. I believe that God recorded this for our benefit. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake. He knew he shouldn't have married her. For John to come and confront him, I believe he respected that. Because he knew that what he was saying was true. It was Herodias who did not. The Bible says it was Herodias, and this is what we've gotten in the scriptures, so help us to know this, and we're going to connect the dots here in just a minute. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake. Not because he wanted to put him in prison, not because he did not believe that this could be the forerunner of the Messiah. And he did not hold him in high esteem, because he did. And the Bible tells us that later on. He said, therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, but she could not. And the reason she could not, it says, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and holy, and observed him, and when he had heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. Amen. Wow. That's good stuff right there. God records that for our benefit, because John's work for Christ had come to an end. John's race that was to be run for Christ had come to an end. It was finished except for his death. Can I tell you that for every one of us, our race is finished by our homegoing. Not until that time. We have a race to run, and there's so much to do. And I've got thinking this week over the last 43 years of the race that I've been running and all the things that God has been able to work. And I'm not finished with my race. I believe that there's still much more to do here at the Lighthouse Baptist Church. I believe there's much more ahead of me. But I know that when the time comes, my race will end with God being glorified by my home going. Death ends our race on this earth. John the Baptist. We have this recorded and how it all went down and all the things that are connected with it. Romans chapter 8. John would suffer being imprisoned. John would suffer being taken to the gallows. John would suffer. For Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Let me get over there myself. Romans in chapter 8. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Praise the Lord. That's when you get saved. You are adopted into the family of God. You had the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Amen. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Amen. But look at verse 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. If so be, if it is then God's will for us to suffer as we go through the very final testimony and the very final stage of our rest in our death, if we suffer, that God has a purpose for that. But if it's God's will, and however God's going to use that in touching the lives of so many other people, however that's going to happen, that's up to God. I don't know that. But if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together in heaven, being glorified over the race that God had for us to run. Look at verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. No matter what kind of into this life we have to endure, whatever into this life that we might even have to suffer, can I tell you, it is not even comparable to the glory that it will bring us in heaven. And we'll be glorified alongside of the Lord Jesus Christ for whatever suffering that God allowed us to have to go through for whatever purpose that God has. But not only does he have purpose in our living, he has purpose in our homegoing. Verse 21. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. That creature is you and I. As believers, delivered from the bondage of corruption. When I die, this is what happens. I am delivered from the bondage of corruption, from this old flesh in this sinful nature, into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And then he would go on to say in verse 28, and we know that all things work together. And connect that with what he's already told us. And we know that all things work together, life and death, for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You just got to know that. Whether it's you're facing death or you're dealing with someone else that's facing death, knowing that they're saved, it's in God's hands. And no matter what they have to suffer, it can be compared to the glory. The glory is what we need to stay focused on. Yeah. Philippians in chapter 1. Philippians in chapter 1. Let me just read this to you. Verse 27 down to verse 29. So I'm going to read. Philippians 1, 27. Only let your conversations be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing, no matter what you have to go through, no matter what you're going to face, in nothing terrified by your adversaries, because the devil would love to get you filled with fear, which is to them an evidence token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. If I have to suffer, I want to suffer as a believer. I'm going to bring it on myself. I want to live for Christ. And so, but if I am called to go through a time of suffering, I need to stay focused on the glory that I revealed afterward. The truth of it is, for John, why remain here when you have heaven to gain? Why would God even want to leave us here once we've run the race? Once we've completed our task? When we have heaven to gain? So yes, there was an evil attack allowed by God on his great messenger, John the Baptist. It was evil. You read that story, you see evil all in and through this story. But it was per God's plan. And we have it written down for us to learn from it. And how he would use John's homegoing, his departure. See, John did what he was here to do as long as he was here. Yeah. Evidenced by how he even was able to get through to Herod. He did not back down from anyone or anything. He was here to preach Christ. Preparing the way. And he did just that. All the way up till his death. Herodias was evil. Sure glad that I don't know of any parents naming their daughters Herodias. Be right next to Jezebel. That would take an evil parent to name their child Herodias or Jezebel. Both, the Bible records the evil. Herodias did not want to hear the truth. John was not going to not tell the truth. John actually would have given her the truth because of his love for Herod and Herodias. The best thing you can do for somebody that is evil, that hates you, is to love them by telling them about the love of Christ. To help them to understand that there is a different way to live if you want to have the blessings of God upon your life. Not to cower down to their position, not to cower down to their fear, not to cower down in any way, but do what we're here to do. And as born-again believers, we have the truth. That is the light, that is the salt, and we need to preach the truth. She would use her influence to control her husband and her daughter. She wanted him dead. The Bible says that as she wanted him dead, that outside of Herod, she could have had him dead, but she could not. The only one person that could keep her from having him beheaded would have been Herod. And Herod was on the verge of salvation. I believe in verse 20 again, for Herod feared John. That reverenced John. He had heard the message. He was under conviction, knowing that he was a just man. Wasn't a fanatic, wasn't an idiot. But he was holy. And he observed him. How John would have approached Herod, how John would have presented all of it. Yeah, he observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. John had been witnessing to him, probably telling him some things he ought to get cleaned up, God, if he wanted to be saved and all the different things that was taking place. And he heard him gladly. In between that conviction and that confession stage of salvation. I wonder how many people never get beyond the conviction because of other people. Not confessing Christ. I believe that Herodias was directly responsible for Herod not getting saved. He allowed her greater influence than the witness of Christ. That's evil. Not only was she evil and affected her husband, she used her influence to control him. She also used her influence to control her own daughter. Can I tell you that Herodias would have loved her mother? They would have had a bond. She would have been the one, Herodias, to send her in there to dance before some drunken men with the purpose of having her way to have the head of John the Baptist. God would allow it. But there was so much to be learned by it. You never want to be the one standing between somebody else getting saved. Never want to use your influence to persuade people opposite the will of God. She went in and danced before them. Herod, in a drunken stoop, said some things that later on he wished he had not have said and committed and promised. Soon as he had her, she had him where she wanted him, and he offered whatever she wanted, she went to her mother. She went to her mother, "What shall I ask?" And her own mother used her position to get her daughter to have John the Baptist beheaded. She came straightway with haste unto the king and asked, saying, "Will that thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist?" Wow. Can I tell you, that's what the Bible tells us, records, so that we can learn so much from this. All this was with John's homegoing. All this, these lessons were because God says, "I not only want to use your life, I'm going to use your death. I'm going to try to help people not to make the very same mistakes. And I'm going to try to help people to realize the importance of their influence." See, Satan used Herodias, and Herodias used them. Herod and her daughter for her own evil pleasure. Revenge. Can I tell you, in hell, earthly relationships will be non-existent. Matter of fact, even in heaven, earthly relationships will not exist. In hell, I believe that they're going to remember, they're going to know all of those things. That's part of the torture and the damnation of hell. Matthew chapter 22, I got one other verse and then we're closing here, but Matthew chapter 22. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, "You do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven." Not, they're not angels in God, but they're as angels in God in that there's no gender. We're going to experience relationships that go beyond the greatest relationship you could ever have on earth. You say, "I couldn't have a better relationship with my wife. There's so much pleasure. There's so much this and that and what." Yeah. God says, "I'm going to make it even better." You say, "Well, I don't know if I want to go to heaven if I'm not going to." Yeah, kind of aging and dying. Get you ready for that. Because there's no age and there's no death and there's nothing negative. It's all glory in heaven. I don't fully understand. I don't think the human mind can fully understand it. Just understand this, that God says your relationship with Christ is going to far exceed any and all relationships that you've ever had. The Bible does say that we will be known as we were known. So there's going to be a special knowledge of one another in heaven. But it's all going to be that which is glory. It's not going to be that way in hell. There is no glory in hell. There's suffering. There's pain. And they'll know exactly. Herod will know exactly the opportunities that he had and what kept him from confessing Christ. Herodias' daughter will know exactly why she did what she did under the influence of her own mother. Wow. Reality. The blessing of this is we got a race to run. Let's finish that race. Let's not give up on that race. Even if I have to go through some sufferings, in God's will, if it's God's will for my life to have to go through suffering, can't compare to the glory that we'll experience in heaven. Amen? If I could have every head bowed tonight. We have the story of John the Baptist and possibly the purpose of his beheading, and understand the connection of being glorifying God in my life and in my death. Father, we bow before you. We love you, Lord. Thank you for truth. Thank you for the testimonies of Scripture, the truths that you have presented to us. And Lord, as we are studying this and preaching this, I don't know exactly how you might have had each one of us to receive it, but I believe it's a message that you had for me to preach tonight. And I pray, God, that you'd help each one that comes underneath the hearing of this message to be able to be strengthened by it and helped by it and be able to apply the truth. Now bless in this invitation. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.